Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
We have breaking news and more information about that. We go to Denver 7's Troy Rank, our Fan Broncos insider.
Brought to you by ROX Rocks Heating and Air.
Troy, I'm following the bouncing ball on this Juwan James story. It's very interesting. You're kind of in the middle of it here. It looks like you made a comment about Deshaun Hamilton, who hurt his ACL and compared it, you know, inevitably to what happened with Juwan James. And you wrote that you understand the NFLPA stance on wanting to shorten the season, but they got to protect their players. You put that out there. And then we see Juwan James make a comment. Maybe you can pick it up from there and include what Juwan James said and the news that has just come out with the Broncos releasing Juwan James.
Yeah, I said in a tweet that, you know, I understand the NFLPA's stance on wanting to shorten the offseason, especially with adding a 17th game, but they need to protect players with insurance or a war chest of money if they continue to advise players to train off-site. And I said James and Hamilton in line to potentially lose millions if not paid, expect grievance. And Juwan James quote-tweeted me and said, at NFLPA, if you're going to advise all of us, we need you to have our backs on the other end of this. And that's what something Tyler and I had talked about, Tyler, when it happened.
Yeah.
I asked you, like, are they providing umbrella insurance for these guys? Like, if you're telling me to stay away, I understand it. But if you are in the assumption when you're in a labor strife and a burgeoning labor war that previous issues that happen, like, oh, they always often take care of guys when they're hurt off site. You can't make that assumption when you have labor strife. That was based on my knowledge of covering baseball. So I was surprised, and I talked to multiple agents since you and I had that conversation, and agents were like, players don't think in terms of individual insurance. Only some of the top draft picks do it. It's not something that really comes up. And I'm like, man, this just leaves them exposed legally. And in the case of James, by cutting him today, officially designating him as a post-June 1 release, and a non-football injury, it puts the pieces in place for them not to pay him. If they don't pay him, there will be a grievance filed, and that salary cap money would show up if, you know, depending on how this shakes out, the following year, not this year. But I just think what James quote tweeted me, I was like, man, he's saying exactly what I feared. If you're telling players to stay away, what are you protecting them with? That team should act in good faith. They always have, but you weren't dealing with a labor issue when you had that language in the contract. So I feel for guys. I hate when players get injured. It doesn't matter who it is. It stinks, but this thing is messy, and I just feel for the players that I think they've been left exposed here.
Yeah, and I certainly understand why Juwan James would want the NFLPA to have his back, but no offense to Juwan James or even to Deshaun Hamilton, and I've got no ill will towards either one of them, but you guys have to understand that they didn't have your back. They didn't have a plan in place, so it's on you. You're the ones that chose to go with the NFLPA, and you're okay with it, so they can only protect you to the degree that they legally are empowered to. Anyways, Troy, I'll ask you this in regards to cutting him now rather than waiting or keeping him on the NFI. I assume that means that the Broncos feel like they're not going to have to settle at all, because otherwise they probably would go through arbitration, right?
Yeah, it hints certainly of the fact that they're just not going to pay him and they'd be willing to take it and follow it through in a grievance, that they feel like they have a strong case. My point has always been, don't go after the signing bonus of $3 million, which they could try to claw that back. I would leave that alone. And I would have, again, it's not my money, but I would have settled with him. You throw him $1 million or whatever that number is. Maybe they refuse it. The NFLPA just refuses it. Maybe that's the sense they got, that, hey, if we give you a couple million for this to go, you know, and it goes away and you go away, maybe they sense the NFLPA wants $9.85 million or nothing. And so they're like, okay, we'll go into grievance here because we're looking at the legal document that states specifically we are not bound to pay your contract if you are injured off-site.
Right,
and the NFLPA counters with, well, you've often done that, and that's been often the case, and clubs that act in good faith. Good faith is not a legal way to resolve an argument when you're having labor strife. So it is pointing to, Tyler, to them, this ending up in a grievance, and I think that's why it was done now.
All right. Good job, Troy. Appreciate it. We'll check in with you later. Thanks for the reporting.
You got it, guys. I'll be hosting. I'll be anchoring on Denver 7 at 6 and 10 tonight. So
okay.
You say a small prayer for me.
Perfect.
Right, yeah, thank you, Troy. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider.
Brought to you by ROX Rocks Heating and Air.
All right. Fascinating. Juwan James taking a shot at the NFLPA.
In my opinion, D-Mac, that's not a shot. That's actually a little bit sad. It's a little bit desperate. It's you not understanding the position that you put yourself in.
Mm.
Your NFLPA did not give you any protection. They asked you to sit it out, and they didn't offer you any way to protect you. They cannot. You can ask the NFLPA to fight for you, and they will. Of course, D. Smith will do his best because this is going to make him look bad. But all that they can do is fight for what they legally have the right to fight for, and they legally do not have the right to fight for his contract right now.
It just shows how stupid this protest was. The worst,
without protection.
The worst nightmare has actually happened to two different Broncos.
Right.
During this time.
Yeah.
Crazy. Okay, so that's the latest. We'll dig around for more information, but Juwan James has been officially dumped, which we, of course, knew was going to happen. It's interesting to see his reactions directly to the NFLPA.
Yeah.
And there we go. With the rookies here in town, where does this go from now? Especially, crazily, that Deshaun Hamilton, who wasn't released, maybe was about to be released, rumors that he was possibly this close to being traded, he rips up his knee earlier today. Wow. This is The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net, call 303-388-8766, or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Man.
Well, No Offense Friday might be interesting today.
Oh, sure. Buddy, I bet there's some No Offense thoughts on Juwan James.
Yeah, I'm seeing some reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line right now, and I get it. I mean, there's just some anger out there about him as a player, but you don't have to do anything, but you may want to consider separating the two different issues. Okay, fine. You're frustrated that he didn't play all that much and he made like, you know, $240,000 a snap. I get it. But this is a dude who was, and it's hard to separate it, but let me try. He was just trying to follow along what his union leadership wanted him to do. He is a guy who was trying to come back and had been working out in the facility and just did what he did, and now if you can possibly separate it, he's a human being, a man, who has just lost out possibly on $23 million and was cut today. So his response to the NFLPA was, at NFLPA, if you're going to advise all of us, we need you. Oh, sorry. If you're going to advise all of us, we need you to have our backs on the other end of this. And this is on the heels of Deshaun Hamilton, who it looks like the Broncos were going to trade or had some interest in, tearing his ACL earlier this morning in a non-football, just working out. I'm sure he was just working out. But I understand the fans too, Tyler. I mean,
well, I get Juwan James' perspective on that. I do. And I would hope that the NFLPA would do everything in their power to fight for me. But you've got to understand, Juwan, that you didn't ask the right questions before you accepted that boycott. And when I say you, I do mean all the players. It's not specifically Juwan James. But you didn't ask your NFLPA the right questions. Do you have me protected if I get hurt? Have you set up a facility for us to go work out at? Have you bought us insurance? And if you have not, then we are not ready to boycott this situation yet. And so it's on you as players at this point. The NFLPA can't legally fight for any more than they've got the legal right to fight for. The situation with Juwan is very, very complicated because, as you mentioned, he was trying to earn his way back into the good graces of his peers.
Right.
And he was at the facility during the offseason. He was doing the right things. And then his peers boycotted. And he certainly wasn't going to separate himself from his peers as he's trying to earn the respect of his peers. So he stepped away from the facility and he got caught up in a bad situation. So I absolutely can sympathize with a guy that just lost out on $23 million because he was following the advice of his PA. For sure I can. I also get everybody that says, hey, Broncos, don't pay him a dime. Or ticked off at him. He made $272,000 for every snap that we got out of this guy. Don't let him fleece you twice. I understand both of them. I guess I just put myself in the human perspective of it for Juwan James on this one, and that sucks, dude.
I do wonder, because you're paying Cameron Fleming 3.7, and you're playing Bobby Massey 4.
Yeah.
Juwan James is going to make 10.5. All right. I mean, you got like a 2.5 difference from what you were budgeted to pay for right tackle and the two guys that you brought in. I mean, I'm just thinking logically, do you make a $2 million buyout sort of settlement? They don't have to. I get it. But are you just nice people? And by the way, they'd be really nice people because they could ask for $3 million of his signing bonus back as well. So if you gave him another two and you didn't ask for the three back, you're essentially giving him $5 million.
So this thing's going to go to arbitration no matter what. Whether, okay. Whether he stayed on the NFI.
He's not going to be happy with just two. He's going to fight for more.
Absolutely.
Right.
For sure. I mean, his lawyers, the PA, they're going to fight to try to get him his contract. And what's going to end up happening is that it's going to go a long time until Juwan James can prove that I'm healthy and I'm medically cleared to play football. Mm. And if he gets medically cleared in week 12, week 13,
right,
then he's entitled to the remainder of his salary. So the Broncos are now going to have to play the game. Do we want to go ahead and just settle, assuming he would be ready for the last month of the season?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they settle now, they can remove his salary from the salary cap. However, it's my understanding, and we should clarify this with our insiders,
mm-hmm.
It's my understanding that until they settle, the Broncos actually have to carry Juwan James' salary cap.
Wow. Well, that would suck. As you're trying to get Aaron Rodgers here. Amongst others.
I could easily be wrong on that one. It's an extremely complicated situation. But
see, people are tough, man. Stuff about karma, personal comments about Juwan. man. People, you know, fans have your back to a certain degree there, Tyler's players.
Oh, yeah. I don't expect any different right now. Fans can't relate to this. The dude made $272,000 for every snap that he played for the Broncos. He still got $17 million for his year that he was with us, right?
Yeah.
And the year that he sat out. No normal human being is going to look at that situation and feel bad for him. And nor should they.
They don't. they clearly don't. And I get that too. I mean, there's a couple different sides to this, but the overwhelming sentiment as I'm looking at the text line, I can't even read half this stuff. But the overwhelming sentiment is tough luck. And I am being polite. Yeah. And the Broncos have to do the best for the team, for the Broncos. It's actually kind of nothing personal, in all honesty. It's not personal. It's...
Oh, I don't know about that. Because what if they end up paying Deshaun Hamilton's salary? Because they liked him.
Oh, I don't
know. What if they're like, hey, Deshaun, you did your best. You were
well. I'll be stunned. I would assume they'll treat them both the exact same way, especially now.
You're probably right because of the boycott. But in a normal year, if you got hurt during it was Deshaun Hamilton boycotting. By the way, do we know? I don't know.
Oh man, no. Well, but today wasn't a
he. I mean, it's rookie minicamp right now, so he wouldn't have been there anyways.
Right. It's not a day that anybody that
right.
I don't know. That's
so.
A good question.
So say he was not boycotting. Say he was at the facility. I bet the team actually would pay him.
Well, the crazy thing is, like you have said multiple times, why would you, with so much money on the line, work out at all except for at the team facility?
You shouldn't. Just use training camp to get back in shape.
Weird. Like who would really?
And if you really want to punish the team anyways, that's a real punishment.
Then
hey,
the other crazy thing is, why wouldn't you just you get hurt, just go to the facility?
Yeah.
And drop a barbell on your foot or something.
Oof. Now, see, that's a loaded question that I've seen go both ways. I've seen players go in there and fake an injury. I've got a lot of stories on that, on both sides of it. I'll tell you about it coming up next.
All right, we'll do that next on The Drive.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Well, teach them all that stuff mentally. It's job one. And, you know, we just had a walkthrough out there, and I was impressed with what the guys were able to learn in the meetings that we had with them last night and this morning. And it was, they did a good job. Now, obviously, at that tempo, it's a little bit different than real life, but I think they've done a good job of learning up to this point, and that's what we need to continue.
Our own Kendall Valenzuela from DenverFan.com on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Kendall, what was happening out at rookie minicamp today?
Hi, guys. Hi, guys. I miss you. First of all, hi.
Yes.
Everything, there's been so much going on since I got home, but some quick storylines is that obviously, seventh rounder Jonathan Cooper, he was the only player not in attendance today because he had that heart ablation procedure. But Vic Fangio said they do expect him to return late next week. And then they did sign 11 college free agents to the roster today. And something to note there is that the Broncos drafted 7 defensive players and 3 offensive players during the draft a couple weeks ago. And now 7 of the undrafted free agents are all offensive. So that's something to look for. Obviously, one of them probably has a good shot at making it because I think 16 of the last 17 seasons, Denver has had one undrafted guy go there. So keep an eye on that. And then I think just what stuff that Vic Fangio said is that Aaron Browning, they're going to start him at inside linebacker just to see how he does since he has that positional versatility. So Browning with Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson potentially at inside. And then Andre Mintz is a guy that was brought up as an undrafted free agent that Vic Fangio spoke about. They said that they like him and that they were lucky to get him outside of the draft. Cecil Lammy has a column that just went out on DenverFan.com saying that he should have been drafted a couple weeks ago. So it was a steal for the Broncos to get him outside of the draft. And that's kind of what's going on.
Appreciate it, Kendall. Look for more information at DenverFan.com. DenverFan.com's Kendall Valenzuela on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline.
Man, Kendall crushed that. Hit all the major points, yeah. Got in, got out, gave us the Cecil Lammy update.
Yeah.
Boom, nailed it.
Good job, Kendall. The news that has come out just about a half hour or so ago, if you're just tuning in, Juwan James has been released by the Broncos. Pending the June 1st designation, they're trying to save some money on the salary cap. Field Yates is reporting it's a move to spread out the salary cap hit over the next couple of years. Juwan James has reached out directly to the NFLPA on Twitter saying, hey, you got to have our backs on this.
Yeah.
And we'll see where it goes. Where do you think this is going to go?
It's not going to go anywhere differently than what we thought. The Broncos will argue that they don't have to pay. Juwan James will try to get the NFLPA to fight for him and protect his rights, but they don't have any legal rights to fight for him. So here's where it gets complicated, and I'm not going to pretend that I'm an expert on this. I'm not. But the Broncos have now designated him as a post-June 1st cut, which now means that they can spread out that cap hit, which is a similar situation to what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and why they don't want to trade him until after June 1st. However, it gets complicated based off of whatever the settlement is. So it, as of today, it would appear that the Broncos are still on the hook for the salary cap portion of it. Mm-hmm. It gets spread out because they're designated after June 1st, but they're still on the hook for the entirety of it, what it would normally be, even if he got hurt at the facility and they'd cut him. Now, if they were to settle with him, it's my understanding, D-Mac, that they can cut that down significantly based off of whatever the settlement is.
And so we go. We'll see where that goes then. I don't think Juwan James is in a very good negotiation position, nor do I think he has that great of a case. And I think he knows it. I think the NFLPA knows it. I think everybody knows it.
His best negotiation position is to find a doctor, and it's got to be legit.
Yeah.
But he's got to find a doctor that says, I think you will be ready in week 12. And then you would be entitled for your salary from week 12 through week 17. Now, he would still have to wait it out and get himself medically cleared if the Broncos don't settle. However, if he gets a doctor that can prove that he thinks he'll be healthy, what the Broncos would do is say, okay, I either believe that doctor or I don't. Mm-hmm. If I believe the doctor that he will be healthy in week 12, then we will go ahead and settle right now. We're paying you the last 5 weeks, but we're not on the hook for the remainder of your salary cap hit.
So what are we talking about?
Dang, then? I sound smart sometimes.
For money is probably a $3 or $4 million sort of. Wait, what are we talking about? He's 10-5, 5 weeks.
Divided by 17. Although, actually, this year, that's not true. They're getting paid 36 weeks this year. But
right. But you.
But yes, he still
that's
gets.
That's true, actually. Yeah. You're right about that. But he gets paid the value of
17 weeks.
Of what, 5 or 6 games.
Right.
So it's a way for him to try to get back. I mean, why we say $23 million is because there was money for, like, next year, too. There was all sorts of things that were tied in. That kind of goes out the window. But, hey, I'd rather get $4 million than $2 million. I'd rather get $2 million than $0 million. You know, I mean, you get what you can get. Because, I mean, who in the world out there as an NFL team is going to take a chance on Juwan James?
Well, big thing that Juwan is going to fight for is going to be the salary bonus that he's already got, that's in his pocket. Hey, I'm not giving you anything back. So, fellas, if you want to tell me you're not paying me my salary until week 12, I'll agree to that as long as you're not asking me to pay back anything you've already given me.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be some give and take there.
What a quirky situation. You have a professional athlete whose career may be over. Maybe he wants, maybe he really isn't interested in playing in the NFL anymore. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know. Why do you say that?
You know, forget that. But you have a situation where a guy is really rehabbing to prove that he's healthy, and it may not matter if he actually can play the sport anymore. It's an odd situation.
I don't follow. I'm sorry. I actually don't follow that.
So, he has to prove that he's able to, not right. that he will.
But if he can't,
so he's not coming back with the Broncos.
Correct. No matter what. Yeah,
no matter
he's not
what.
Coming back to the Broncos.
He's done.
If he plays again, it's somewhere else.
He's only going to go through this, perhaps, just to prove he could go through it. He doesn't necessarily have a team to go to because he's not coming back here.
Well,
and the likelihood
well, yeah,
of another team signing him is like zero.
Yeah, but more important than getting another team to sign him is getting that money for those 5 weeks.
Well, that's right. Whether he plays in the NFL
Correct.
Or not.
Yes.
That's the quirky situation.
Yes.
All right. So there you go. The Juwan James stuff. It's a no offense Friday. Just, you know.
I could probably retire off 17. You know, the 17 he made the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Probably could make that work.
And no offense. And I'm seeing tons of no offenses about Juwan James. But nobody's feeling sorry for him at all. And that point has come up relentlessly.
Right. Tricky man, because he had an injury that there's no chance he would have been able to come into the facility and fake it.
Right.
I do know of a lot of guys that have been hurt in the offseason, and they do come in, and yes, it's fraud, and yes, that is illegal.
What has happened? What do you know?
But they come in, and they've got an ACL, they've got whatever, but they don't tell the team about it because they got hurt outside of the facility, and then they get there, they go out there on the field workouts, and then they get hurt in the warm-ups. It happened. It was actually my first real starting crack at getting a full-time starting job. Jamal Brown for the Washington Redskins, I can't prove that he faked anything. Nor am I even really accusing him of anything, but he had hip issues his entire career, and then we come out for our conditioning test, and during our warm-ups for the conditioning test, he got hurt, and he was done for the year. I was a huge beneficiary of it. I started the next 4 years because of it, but he got paid for the remainder of the year after getting injured during warm-ups.
He got injured in warm-ups.
Correct. That's right.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, I've seen other players do it at the end of preseason camp. Now, they think they're about to get cut, so they go out during the game, and they get, quote-unquote, injured during the game.
Right.
And they come back, and they've got an MRI that they know is going to show that they've got something significant, but the team didn't know about it, and now they get paid. You know what I've also seen, though? I've seen the team play that game. And I've seen the team have a guy that they know is hurt, that they know that they're on the hook for, and then that guy is rehabbing. He comes out for the offseason. We're out there working out during OTAs or whatever it might be, And I have five times over the course of my career, and I'm not going to mention their names because it's not fair, but I can think of five guys that I know that the team brought out an individual cameraman that followed that player around first day that he got out on the field, and then the next day they cut him. How does that work? Well, now they've got visual evidence to prove that this player was healthy, so they no longer have to pay him.
Wow, that's like an insurance claim, and you go on a ski vacation, and they got video of you know, skiing or snowboarding when you shouldn't be.
Correct.
You know what NFL teams will do, too, which is also kind of the sneaky side of football, is they will put guys on the IR that don't need to be on the IR just to stash them away.
Sure. Yeah, that happens every year. That usually actually, most of the time, the players benefit from that, because if you're the guy that gets put on the IR, that means that the team was going to cut you, and you probably were not going to get your money. And if they stash you on the IR and they say that you've got an injury, well, now you get your full salary, and you're still on the team.
I don't know if you remember this. Oh, gosh, I hope I get his name right. I think his name is Quinteris Smith. Were you
Quinteris
on
Smith?
His first name was definitely.
That's not ringing a bell.
His first name was definitely Quinteris. Maybe I'm wrong on Smith, but he was a draft pick, and he had some sort of injuries he was battling. And I'll never forget, he came back. And he was out there, and everybody's gathered around him. Mm-hmm. And it was like, Quinteris, how you feeling? He's like, I feel great.
Next day.
Next day, gets put on IR.
That's right. Well, that one's not so bad. It would have been worse had they cut him.
Yeah, for sure. No, he was a draft pick. He was valued. It's essentially a redshirt year.
Yes.
You know, it's the NFL way of doing a redshirt year and managing their roster and cap. Still, I think a difficult thing for a player to go through because he's not really that hurt. And now, and the IR rules were harsher back then. When you went on IR, I mean, that was it. Like, you couldn't be at the building. You couldn't, I mean, things have lightened up a little bit with IR. You can bring guys, multiple guys back from IR. There's different rules now. All right, well, No Offense Friday is rolling. 303-713-1043. What you got? We'll hear from John Clayton. This is The Drive on The Fan.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Can we talk about that?
No. I mean, there's a really fun... I know, we can't.
Are you sure we can't talk about that?
I wish we could.
That's pretty good.
It's hysterical. But we, I know.
D-Mac.
I just.
Let's just say D-Mac's in trouble.
Not to like brag or anything, but I'm like really good at this game.
That was good.
It is funny, but it's like I'm mad and embarrassed and. At the same time.
Okay. Nobody has any clue now, so.
I'll leave it alone. We'll have John Clayton on in just a little bit. You know, Pat Sertan was asked, did any veterans reach out about this dumb boycott that's going on?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good question. Because we had said the only rookie that could possibly... Maybe Javonte Williams could get away with it too, but really the guy that could get away with it the most would be Pat Sertan.
No, nobody could get away with it. I mean, but Pat Sertan, right. By the hierarchy, yes, I get it.
Correct.
He could get away with it. Nobody would get in trouble. He certainly wouldn't lose his job. But no, there is no rookie across the league that is going to boycott their initial rookie minicamp. Oh my gosh, if they do that. They got some cojones, dude.
Okay, so here is what Sertan said to that answer.
You know, I was gonna come up here and play regardless. You know, I'm a rookie, so I feel like I ain't got that bit of advantage yet for me to talk yet or even miss minicamp. I don't have no proven ability to miss minicamp. So you know, I just gotta go out here and you know just practice and compete every day and just get right with the playbook. So there was no plans on missing.
I guess that's a better answer than I can't curse, but no. Did anybody? No. What am I going to do? Not come to work? Which is another reason this protest was so ill thought out, executed.
It was really poorly executed. The more I think about it, I'm not saying you as a normal human being has to understand why the players would say that they don't have to come to work. If they had separated COVID from it and had they properly prepared for it with a war chest, which we did for the lockout during when I was playing during the CBA negotiations, we had a war chest that was going to help the players out in that situation. Had they had a proper insurance plan in place, facilities for the guys to work out, you couldn't say, like, boy, are the players a bunch of idiots for doing this. You might disagree with it. You might say they're selfish. You might say these millionaires are just entitled jerks. But at least it would have been well thought out and well executed. At this point, this should be officially the end of D. Smith's era as the leader of the NFLPA. It should be over. Dude, you just cost a guy $23 million and Deshaun Hamilton. He's got like $2 million. So that's 25 right there. Anybody else across the league gotten hurt yet?
This should end. I mean, whatever's happening should be 100% over.
Yes.
And you know what? It should be 100% over, and the NFLPA should be telling everybody it's 100% over.
It was all about to be over no matter what, because the guys were always going to come back for OTAs. They always said that they would be back once practices began. Mm-hmm. They just didn't want to be there for the extra phase two or one. 3 weeks of phase one where they had to be there just to work out.
Stupid. Stupid.
Yeah.
Amazingly stupid, considering what could have happened, and you don't think to yourself, and you know, it felt rushed and hurried because of the way it rolled out. Like the Broncos were leading the charge, by the way. The Broncos were the first team, and then it was like, oh, you'll see, there'll be plenty of other teams, and there were, but it was hardly unanimous. What was it, 19, 20 teams out of 32?
I wonder how much pressure Roger Goodell and the rest of the owners put on the Broncos to not pay Juwan James. Not that they were going to anyways, but because of the fact that they were first. Like, hey, your guys were the originators of this. You guys started this movement. There's no way we're letting you pay your players if they get hurt.
Okay. All right, we'll follow this as it goes, but the breaking news today is Juwan James has been let go by the Broncos. Deshaun Hamilton, who was still with the Broncos and was looking to be traded, ripped apart his ACL, so he's done. So some weird stuff going on. Like that, the Juwan James isn't weird, but still, on the back end of everything is Aaron Rodgers. And their sound, we'll have it a little bit later on. His coach, Matt LaFleur, was talking about how, you know, we got to have him. I want him. You know, he's got to come back. We want him the worst way. That's his coach.
Oh, do you?
Well, the coach does, rightfully so.
Is that why you drafted Jordan Love? Well, because you wanted him so badly?
How involved was Matt LaFleur in that decision?
That's a great question.
But could you give us some insight? John Clayton, 104.3 The Fan's senior Broncos writer for DenverFan.com, joins us courtesy of Flesh and Beck Law Injury Attorneys. All right, John. Matt LaFleur has said they wanted Aaron Rodgers back in the worst way. What's the latest in the situation in Green Bay?
Well, Aaron Rodgers wants out of there in the worst way. So
perfect.
You can see it's not going well. It's one where you can look at and you can see that I still really question whether Aaron's going to go back. You know, because again, it's like he wants more longevity and security, and he may not have that as long as Jordan Love's on the team. And right now, I can't see them trading Jordan Love. I think that they made the mistake by getting up there. And so the fact that he's told his teammates he's not going to be there, the fact that he hasn't backed down, I know it's early, but I still think in the end, he's going to force a trade. Now, the question can be, is it going to be August, September, October? But I don't see him going back.
John, it feels like both sides are trying to win the vote of the public opinion right now. I guess I'm curious your thoughts on who looks like the bad guy right now, the Packers or Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I mean, I'm sure in Green Bay it's probably Aaron Rodgers because he's the one wanting to get out of Green Bay. And you know how local fans are going to be. They're going to be upset with the guy that wants to get out of there. But in reality, when you look at the big picture, it has to be Packers front office, because the Packers front office didn't tell Aaron that they were going to take a quarterback in the first round. You know, didn't back down from that, didn't get him any talent in the receiver position last year, waited to the third round this year to get somebody, and then to make matters worse, they bring in Blake Bortles. So it's like, oh, okay, so how much are you going to pay him as an insurance policy in case Jordan Love isn't there? So, I mean, the big picture shows it as being the Packer management, but also what you're looking at in the fans is probably going to be Aaron Rodgers, because it was no different when Brett Favre wanted to get out of there.
The Packers ownership is, of course, unique to the NFL. How does that impact decisions like this?
Doesn't impact whatsoever, because again, it's all fan driven, and you know, there is no owner or anything like that. I mean, the owners are basically the fans. In fact, my wife even owns shares in the Packers, and so and she doesn't like Aaron Rodgers. But
wow, you know, okay. Is she a Jordan Love fan or
She doesn't like Jordan Love. She doesn't know anything about Jordan Love. Nobody really does. But other than what the general manager said, is that he's got a long way to go. It's like, oh, nice. That's a good way to phrase it. But no, it's like they have no voice, and so basically, it's the people in the front office. You know, the Mark Murphys, who's the president, and the general manager and the coach. I mean, they're the ones that run the ship, because, you know, it's internally done that way. It's different than any other team in football because the owners are so spread out.
John, coming back to the Broncos here, Vic Fangio has said that the quarterbacks will split at 50-50. Who takes the first snap? Who's really in the lead right now?
You know, the first snap, I don't know if that's going to mean he's going to be in the lead, but it's probably going to be Drew Lock, because he's been there and he knows the offense. So he'll get the first snap. And then Teddy Bridgewater, who I think has a great chance of beating him out because I think he's a better quarterback, you know, then he'll kind of match up, and then you kind of go back and forth. But what I'm kind of wondering about, you know, because now you got the competition at the quarterback position. You got Patrick Surtain with three experienced cornerbacks out there. They were paid good money. Then you look over now and Cameron Fleming is like, this is going to be one competitive camp.
It's a 50-50 decision at quarterback. So yeah, obviously somebody wins at some point. Okay. But in 50-50 competitions where it's a virtual coin toss that Vic Fangio joked around today, I get it. You got to pick one guy, but does that mean you have to stick with that guy once the season starts? Or are we really looking at a 50-50 whole season audition top to bottom?
No, I think you see how camp goes. You see how the three preseason games go. Then you make a determination. Who looked better in practice? Who looked better in the preseason outings? And then you make a decision. What's best for your team at quarterback? And if Drew Lock picks up his game, and it seems like some of the players are saying he seems to be more into it this year, you know, that could be encouraging for Drew. But also, you know, Teddy comes in with more experience and you know, the chance to beat him out. But no, I think you just go through the normal process. And best man wins.
All right, there we go. Thank you, John Clayton. 104.3 The Fan, John Clayton from DenverFan.com, courtesy of Flesh and Beck Injury Attorneys.
Senior writer.
Here's what he said, by the way, if you did miss this.
That would be day by day. You know, it's totally 50-50. Maybe I'll flip a coin to see who takes the absolute first snap of the offseason and training camp, but
dude,
by the end of the day, meaning the end of training camp, before those guys make the decision for us with their play, it's going to be a 50-50 proposition. Some days, some guy might get more than the other. Then it will even out the next day or 2 days later. It's not going to be 50-50 probably every day, but over the course of this offseason and training camp, it will be.
I did raise my Zoom hand after that. I didn't get called on. But my question was going to be, okay, it's 50-50. You will make a decision at some point. Does it remain at 50-50 once the season starts? Meaning, if the guy that you chose falters, does the other guy get a shot?
That's a really good question. Let me come back to that here in just a second. But I want to focus on the let me flip a coin to see who takes the first snap comment there, because that is one of the most insanely offensive things you could ever hear if you're Drew Lock. Are you kidding me?
He's joking around, though, obviously.
D-Mac, dude, are you kidding me? Drew Lock hasn't even earned it. And I'm not saying Drew Lock has earned it. I'm just saying, as the incumbent starter, you are the returner that has been around here. Your coach isn't going to defer to you as getting the first snap, as being you're the guy that Teddy Bridgewater has to beat out. To say that the first snap is going to be that's going to be assigned based off of a coin flip, holy cow, that tells you everything you need to know. Teddy Bridgewater is the leader in the clubhouse right now. Of course the incumbent starter should get the right to at least have the first snap, to be the guy that Teddy has to beat out. That's insane. It tells you everything you need to know.
It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver, 5 o'clock on a Friday.
You have a good question, though. Let's come back to it.
Drives it towards left field. Going back, Winker to the wall. It is out of here. Touch him all time for Garrett Hampson. Number 4 for the Hampinator.
Capasso for 3. Got it. Uno, dos, tres. Para Faku.
Wide strides. Here's an opportunity. Still looking for his
first. We reckon. Score! Tyson Jones. His second goal of the game. His second goal of the period. And that is going to do it. For the first time in 20 years, the Colorado Avalanche have won the President's Trophy.
There you go, Moj. What a night last night. So all three teams win. The Nuggets just win because
they're awesome.
They just can't help but win. You were wrong about Bednar.
As it turns out. Hey, players mess up. I don't know what to say.
Even the Rockies, who were up 10-0 and gave up 8 runs in the 8th, they won the game.
I was watching, dude. I was watching the Rockies last night. Can you believe it?
Actually, I'm a little shocked. I should dig deeper into that.
It was a unique moment where normally the second the kids go down, wifey and I, we go upstairs, we turn on the show that we're binging, whatever that might be. Wife got a little bit delayed. She had to take a shower after the kids went to bed. I had some time to myself. I said, why not? Let's check out the Rockies. How they doing? It was 8-0 in the 5th inning. I watched 2.5 innings. So I watched a whole 2.5 innings. And they were dominating. And I was like, okay, they're on cruise control. Nice job, Rocks.
Yeah, they're up 10-0. The game was on in the background. And we were just having dinner, just chilling out. And the kid from Legacy, Gilbraith, gave up a 2-run homer and didn't finish the inning. I was like, that sucks. That stinks. And then I just didn't pay attention. And I look over about 15 minutes later, and it's 10-8.
Excuse me, what happened?
That's what I thought, and I didn't know. Right, I mean, right. You know, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. But then they put up 3 and got out of it and got the win. Anyway, first of all, first and foremost, congratulations to the Avalanche.
Yes.
First time in 20 years they've won the President's Cup. I'm leaning towards James Polk as the picture on the trophy. Because he, not to stereotype Canadians, but as far as we can tell, he had the most prominent mullet of any former U.S. president.
Sorry, what do the Canadians have to do with the American president? I didn't follow that.
Well, nothing. But they love mullets. Okay. I mean, who doesn't love a good mullet, especially Miley Cyrus?
So again, bring the Canadian deal back into this?
Well, you know, it's kind of a Canadian sport, hockey.
Oh!
Sort of.
Man.
I mean, no offense.
Wow.
No offense.
Hey, we're the hockey guys, dude. Oh. You can't say stuff like that around here.
No offense, but how many Americans are on the Avalanche?
Good question.
Do you know? Off the top of your head?
No, of course I don't know off the top of my head.
And I'm not even going to put a coffee on it, over under 4 Americans on the Avalanche.
Oh, I'll take the over. Yeah.
You'll take the over?
I'll put a coffee on it, yeah.
I'll put a coffee. 4 is a push.
Okay.
So you got to have 5, I got to have 3.
Yes.
Richie, I'm sorry. I know, that sucks. But we'll find out shortly, or the text line will
tell. Did you hear Zach Bye today complaining, whining, and crying? Did you hear that?
About what?
Unbelievable. Oh, did you hear? Have you seen what the Drive have been doing lately? They stole our bit, man. They stole our bit. They're now, like, every day they're talking about coffee bets. That we've been doing that for 4 years. We've been making coffee bets for 4 years.
Oh.
Well, number one, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you had some sort of, like, legal rights to coffee bets. Nor did I know that that was really creative.
They may have.
And number 3, key difference here is when we talk about a coffee, we're referring to a coffee, not a pink slip.
Okay.
Wow. Boy, you didn't even laugh at that?
No,
you know, I didn't even chuckle.
I'm in stunned silence.
I was pretty proud of that. I was building up towards it, and you just sit there in dumb silence. Like, gosh, like, help a brother out around here.
Would you like me to put on a fake media laugh?
That wasn't funny to you?
Well, I can do it again.
That I was insinuating that when they talk about coffees, they're talking about pink slips?
Oh, my God. That is great.
That's like
brag or anything, but I'm like really good at this game.
I'm kind of ticked off at you right now.
Sorry. You got to think. You want to do it again? Do the joke again.
I got to do it for the third time.
No, you don't. Just play the fake. Just do the fake media laugh. And...
Plan B?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have Plan B. We're going Plan A.
I hate that. I hate that.
Plan B?
Hate that.
No, I don't have Plan B. We're going Plan A.
That was funny.
That's
enough.
An alpha male comment right there.
That was funny enough. I know exactly how that happened too. We were in the big room. They left the mic on. We were broadcasting live. I was tossing to the presser, and they never faded it down. They never faded down the microphone.
So you showed John Elway enough respect to give the fake laugh, but you couldn't give your partner that?
I got it on the second time around.
Did you just not understand it the first time, maybe?
I didn't get the joke, or I would have laughed if it was if it was funny.
Hindsight, was it decent? No? Like 1 to 10?
I still don't understand it.
You don't understand? Richie, do you understand the joke?
Like they'd be fired? Is that what you mean?
I assumed he was talking about the pink slip like for a car.
Thank you.
Oh.
Yes. In other words, when we say we're betting for a coffee, we are betting for a coffee. They use coffees as a reference for pink slips. Like we are betting for $1,000, $2,000.
Oh, there's more on. It's not just coffee.
Oh, man. Now
you got to explain it.
Holy cow.
It's difficult. Yeah, I know. The other big news of today, besides all of the teams winning, which is awesome, is what's going on with Juwan James. Now, we're going to have Mike Kliss on in about 8 minutes, so we'll probably dig into it a bit deeper.
That was an accident. I'll just come out and say that.
That was an accident? Oh, my gosh, that was hilarious. It was perfect. I wish that I had the power to do that. Okay. Why don't I get an iPad?
I don't try to do anything that I can't do.
Yeah. Discrimination around here.
It's so funny you bring that up. Your side is wired for an iPad.
So why don't I have an iPad?
That was requested by somebody else years ago.
All right, well, I'm requesting it.
The engineers put it in, and it was never, they kind of died there. But there is access.
Not doing it.
I want the power to be able to hit some stupid sound bite a million times in a row like you do. I want that power.
Is Richie vetoing that?
Richie.
You throwing that out there, Richie?
First off, Richie, you don't have the power to veto me, okay?
Wow.
Let's just make that clear. Wow. Now, in a couple of years, I might be working for you. But, dang it, this is not going well. I just stopped. I'm going to stop.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Sorry, Hans, wrong guess.
I'm sorry.
So the Juwan James situation is happening in terms of the Broncos not wanting him on the team. I mean, he's gone. But how are they going to pay him out? What are the ramifications of that? Again, Kliss in a few minutes. Deshaun Hamilton, who is still on the team, as it turns out.
You owe me coffee.
Ripped up his... Do I? For what?
According to the text line, we've got 9 Americans on the Avalanche.
No way.
Text
really?
Line's never been wrong.
Wow.
They've never been wrong.
We will double check that. I will owe you coffee if we have 9 Americans.
I heard Richie laugh through the other room when I said the text line's never been wrong.
You know, it's worth double checking, but they're smarter than us. I know that. That wasn't even supposed to be a joke. Yeah, maybe they're not smarter than us. Who knows?
What were we saying? Juwan James something?
Juwan James, we'll get to him in a little bit. Deshaun Hamilton, we'll get to him. Juwan James took a shot. I think it's a shot at the NFLPA saying, hey, man, you got to have our back.
Mm-hmm.
But the NFL sent out a memo a couple weeks back really laying things out. Like, hey, teams, it doesn't matter if the players do not understand what their union and they agreed to. You do not have to pay these guys. These are the rules we have agreed to. Don't get pushed around by these guys, because obviously if you let them push you around, if one team lets gets pushed around, it's going to be horrible for all of us.
Yeah, this isn't a normal offseason injury. This isn't in between the Super Bowl and OTAs when a guy gets hurt and it's up to the team. Hey, if you want to be the good guy, go ahead and pay him. No, this is a battle between the NFLPA and the NFL, and the NFL made it very, very clear that they're not going to let the NFLPA win any sort of part, any sort of battle in this overall war.
Okay.
Eight.
You got eight?
Boom.
Who are they?
JT Compher.
Okay.
Dennis Gilbert. Sheldon Dries.
Sheldon.
Jacob McDonald.
That was the one.
Yeah, that was the one.
Jason Megna.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Saad.
Mm-hmm.
Kiefer Sherwood.
Keep going.
And TJ Tynan.
Wow. All right. You got coffee coming your way. There you go. There you go. You know what?
You just hate America. I mean, you were just like, wow, Americans aren't capable of playing in the NHL.
Do you think that's the most Americans that are on any individual NHL hockey team?
No.
You think there's a team that has more than eight Americans on it?
Yep. Another bet? Double down. Let's go.
Double up. I'm not going to bet because that would actually kill Richie to actually have to look up 29 other
teams.
All
he has to find is one.
Well, that's true.
If the bet can be settled by 3 p.m. tomorrow, I can do it.
Well, I didn't think there was...
I accept those rules, yes. It can be settled tomorrow.
All right. I didn't think there was five on the Avalanche, so why in the world would I think there's nine or more on any other team? There's nothing special about the Avalanche that would breed American players. So, sure, I'll roll with it. So, I'm essentially betting there's not nine or more Americans on any other NHL team.
Correct.
That the Avs have the most Americans.
I accept that bet.
Which would be kind of...
You know why?
Kind of awesome, actually.
Because America.
But... Okay. But technically, I would be voting for America, not you.
No, you're not.
Well,
you're saying that Americans are capable of playing hockey.
I'm saying the Avs are so awesome, they have the most Americans.
You're also saying that Americans are not capable of having more than... eight players on any NHL team.
But mostly I'm saying, how cool are we in Colorado
that we have that many Americans? Don't worry about it.
More pro-American than you on this.
No, you're definitely not. Mm-mm.
I think so.
No, not at all.
I'm like way into like America on this one.
Yeah.
Because there's no way any team is
I know you're in a hole right now, so I'm American. Not going to keep, I'm not going to bury you. Just I'll let you think whatever you want to think.
Matt LaFleur about Aaron Rodgers. You got to listen to this. This is hysterical.
Yeah, Rob, I've got nothing new to update, and we still obviously feel the same way. It's, we want him back in the worst way. I know he knows that, and, we'll continue to work at it each and every day.
What to me is funny about that is we want him back in the worst way. Well, technically, he's not gone. I mean, he's under contract. You do got him. What you're really saying is we want him to show up in the worst way. It's not like he's a free agent.
Richie, go ahead and just check the Winnipeg Jets really quick. Just real quick. Settle it in a heartbeat. Won't take too long. Yeah. We'll just get that coffee over with. Just have it doubled down. Mm-hmm.
There's way more than nine.
On what team?
Winnipeg.
I just told you.
How many are on Winnipeg?
14.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that didn't take too long.
No. Yeah. That's two coffees. Anything else?
Nah, that's it.
I bet you there's not more than 14 Americans on any NHL team.
So, hold on. The most American NHL team.
Well, we don't know that.
Is in Winnipeg, as far as we know.
As of now, yeah.
Okay. Winnipeg.
Uh-huh.
Because we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
Yes, sir. Do you know that the Canadian Football League has got a limit on the amount of American players that can be on any team?
I did know that. And there's a limit like in... what do they call it? Up in baseball in Japan, there's a limit of
what's
how many,
that called?
It's called something. They have some sort of rule about how many non-Japanese players you can have.
Gotcha.
I forget what the name of it is, though. There's some sort of name for it. But I did know that in Canada too. That's a weird one,
feels
huh?
Feels good, man. I still got a full Starbucks card from Zach. I haven't even touched it yet. I got two from you coming in. This is great. Let's fill out an entire month here. I know you keep trying to go somewhere, but you just keep making dumb bets. And then I got to follow up.
The text line
tells me in like 2 seconds.
I get it. I'm just waiting for Cliss at this point because it's, you know.
I feel bad for interrupting you, but I had to prove my point.
Do you feel bad?
Not at all. I just felt like I was.
Doesn't feel like you feel bad.
I thought I was supposed to say that I felt bad, so I said that, but no, I don't.
Okay. Should I wait for Cliss or not? Should I move on?
Do you want to make a coffee bet on how long it takes for Cliss to show up?
Yeah. I can get back to LaFleur, but...
I take under 30 seconds.
For what?
Cliss.
Cliss?
Mm-hmm.
Gaijin, yeah? Is that a bad word?
Yeah, you might...
What? Oh, like officially? Are you on the air or not? What are you doing? I can't even... Nobody knows what you're saying.
No, I'm ringing Cliss right now, so I can't be on the air. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
You took this train off the track. Keep going.
Well, no, I already made another bet. You didn't take it. I won again.
Saved by the Cliss.
That's the third coffee. That was definitely under 30 seconds.
Mike, I didn't make it.
Yeah, you
Mike
did.
Cliss, our 9 News Broncos insider. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Ah, boy. Things got a little crazy after watching a nice little friendly rookie mini camp.
Yeah, I guess so. Let me get this. Mike Cliss joins us now courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Fill us in on, let's start with Juwan James and then maybe we get to Deshaun Hamilton. But fill us in on what's going on with Juwan.
He was terminated with a post-June 1st non-football injury designation. And poking around on that... when you get terminated with the NFI, again, non-football injury, it automatically voids the guarantees of the contract. So no 10.58, which is a salary with the 17th game. The one thing about that is because he's no longer on the team, from what I understand, that means the Broncos won't be going after his prorated signing bonus. But 10.58, the Broncos have let it be known they're not paying that. I'm sure there will be a grievance, and in the grievance, I'm sure the argument will be that he was doing football workouts. You know, he wasn't skydiving or anything like that. He was doing football workouts, and you know, it'll probably be whether or not you know he used the team's workout program. Although the team will counter and say not liable for anything that happens away from the team facility. So Juwan James will definitely be the poster child for this union voluntary boycott protest that they're doing this offseason.
Okay, so Mike, break this one down for me a little bit. If Juwan James gets a doctor to say that he would be medically cleared in week 12, obviously he has to still get cleared in week 12. But how does that go into these negotiations for the amount of money that he would still be owed if he was cleared after week 12?
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's a supposition. All I know is the Broncos, put him on the NFI reserve list last week, which ended his season. So their medical team says there's no way he could come back. And I'm sure he'll try to. Week 12 seems a little early for an Achilles, as I understand it. And my source here was Stokely, who had an Achilles. The soonest he could probably come back was, like mid-January or mid-December, which, it wouldn't be week 12. It'd be more like week 15. But still, I understand your point. But I'll let the lawyers deal with that one.
Juwan James reached out directly to the NFLPA through Twitter to say, hey, you got to have our backs here. Mike, do the players understand what they're getting themselves into? Is this really a shocking development? And will this essentially end the press by the NFLPA to have players stay away?
No, I don't think they fully understand, because when Juwan went down and what you know, the news broke on him and not getting paid, the Broncos, from what I understand, had about 21 players that were regularly showing up for their off-season conditioning program. And I think only one or two more showed up this week. And so that shows it didn't quite sink in. Now, we'll see the day of reckoning. There's two of them. Monday is the next step, although it's a one-week just on-field drills type of thing. And then the OTAs, I think, would really be the point of reckoning for these veterans the following week, May 24th. See how many show up. I would think quite a few veterans would show up for that. The one thing about this, guys, if you're going to organize a boycott, and I know it's voluntary, but it's still a boycott, you got to have injury protection away from the facility. And I'm not sure, we'll have to see. Right now, the NFL is saying that that's not in the CBA. And the union isn't really saying much of anything. So, you know, right now, the Broncos are at the epicenter of this. As far as I know, there's been two major injuries away from the facility, and both have happened to the Broncos.
Catch us up a little bit.
Deshaun Hamilton.
Catch us up on Deshaun Hamilton's situation. Yesterday was a little bit crazy because we got all the reports that the Broncos had released them. Turns out they had not. Then we heard that they were trying to trade him. Today we hear that he tears his ACL. Boy, what a crazy 24 hours for him. Are you going to assume that the Broncos will handle Deshaun Hamilton the exact same way that they'll handle Juwan James with the NFI and not paying him?
No.
Ooh.
First of all, I'm not convinced. All players are different. You know, it's when you're a higher paid player, you get treated differently than a lower paid player. Tyler, you know this, and you know there's a little more favoritism given to that guy. But when it comes to the end, it's a little easier to absorb the cost of a lower paid player than it is a higher paid one. Juwan James, and there is a big differences here. Juwan James was paid $17 million in 2019 for nothing. And he had a knee injury, and the Broncos medically cleared him, and he still didn't play. He said that he shouldn't be cleared medically. So there's that, you know, there's that tension between the Broncos and Juwan James. And then, you know, he opted out last year, which was his right, but he was the only player that was going to make the team who did opt out. And, you know, I think the Broncos, to some degree, they'd never admit this, but they've already paid him $17 million for basically nothing. And they're not going to go after his signing bonus, it doesn't seem. In Deshaun Hamilton's case, for very little money, he was a fourth rounder and he was on the original rookie contract. He gave him three good years. He gave him all they wanted. I think he only missed a couple games. He was productive late every season. I kind of broke down his splits. He wasn't very productive through the first 12 games. And then all of a sudden he started playing like a number two and a half type receiver in the last four games every year. And so he gave him three good years, and now he's making 2.2, which is, you know, Juwan James, he's on the same plane as Juwan James, but Juwan James is in the front row of first class, and Deshaun Hamilton is in the middle of coach, you know. I'm not convinced, although they could, because the rules are the rules, but I'm not I think there's more apt to be an injury settlement with Deshaun Hamilton than there wasn't in the case of Juwan.
All right, hey, just real quick, out of curiosity, was Deshaun Hamilton protesting and staying away, or was he actually one of the guys that had been at the facility?
He had not been at the facility.
Okay.
I mean, he was part of the 40 guys, you know, McManus and Justin Simmons, you know, kind of organized this thing, and you know, per the union, they were just following the union wishes. They wanted to honor the union. And so he's working on his own. From what I heard, guys, and by the way, at least my report didn't say that he was waived. It said he was to be waived. And I do think the team and the agent planted that out there to try to generate trade interest. And from what I was told, they were pretty far down the line with trade talks with another team on Deshaun last night and today when they found out that Deshaun went down. It's almost like
it's tough. You
can't make it up.
Yeah,
I mean, it's incredible.
All right, Mike. Hey, great job. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Mike Kliss, our fan Broncos insider, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. So now what? Mount Palumbus Peak is next.